His goodness, praise the Lord. I want to turn this afternoon to the book of 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. 1 Peter 5. And let us begin with verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, that is, you younger people, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want to speak for a little while this afternoon on all grace. Verse 10, the God of all grace who has called us. All grace. The first thing that we learn about that is that grace is of God. I also want to notice that it is all grace. Another rendering of that, or another expression of that, we read in another place, is the manifold grace of God. There are a number of expressions of grace in the Scripture. They tell us of the purposes or the accomplishments of divine grace. And so I want to notice a few things about this all grace that we are talking about. As noted, it all goes back to the same. It is, grace is of God. You know, we may, and we're encouraged, we are told to show the grace of God. But if we show such grace, it's only because we got it from God. Again, all grace comes from God. He is the author of it. He's the master of it. And so we find out that all grace is a reference to that which God has supplied. And let us understand, only God can supply such grace. I want to notice just a few references to such grace. There is no way that you go express all of the different purposes and things of divine grace. It is just so, again, so manifold and so majestic. But I want to turn to the second chapter of Titus. Titus 2, which gives us a wonderful message in regard to divine grace. Titus 2, and go down to verse 11. For the grace of God, once again, all grace is of God. It comes from only one source. And so the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, here's another one of those all-inclusive verses, so to speak. But this one, grace brings salvation. And we find that to be true, that when grace is there and when grace is accepted, grace brings salvation. Salvation isn't just another word for deliverance. It doesn't just mean being saved from the guilt of our sins and saved from hell. It is a well-rounded term. Salvation refers to any deliverance that we may need in our lives. And you will notice here that this grace has appeared, as we find out here in verse 11, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, no exceptions. This idiocy of individual predestination is just foolish, because grace has appeared to all men. How do you argue with all men? And that grace has appeared, and that grace brings salvation. And so salvation, deliverance, is available to all men. And I repeat, this deliverance that we're talking about is any deliverance that we may need throughout our entire lifetimes, and there will be many of those experiences, not just the one, once again, where we're delivered from sin or we're delivered from hell, but this is all deliverance of any kind from anything. And then there's another wonderful message that we learned many, many years ago. Let us not think that God just delivers from. God also delivers to. And He has delivered to many wonderful blessings and provisions and opportunities for His people. But the same thing is true. This verse is just an overall inclusive verse. It brings, grace brings salvation. And so when grace is there, deliverance is going to be included. We often think of the one verse, everyone really knows this, in Ephesians 2:8, the grace of God that, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And again, I want to emphasize that such salvation, such deliverance is all-inclusive, and it would be indeed throughout an entire lifetime of experience. Let's turn now to the 20th chapter of Acts, another beautiful expression of God's marvelous grace. Acts 20. And go down to verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Here we learn that the grace of God actually comes many times through the word of God. And so it is Peter here says, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, and notice what this grace does. First, it is able to build you up. That build up is just simply another word for edify. Especially it means edifying us in spiritual things. Only divine grace can do that. We are edified, we are built up directly because of the grace of God. I have, over the past few months and years, use the expression that grace is not just unmerited favor to the undeserving. Divine grace is a power, and it expresses that power in a number of different ways. Here we find this is a power for edification. It builds you up, and once again I say that is in spiritual things. But then you'll notice he goes a bit farther here in this place, able to build you up and give you an inheritance. So we are speaking of the inheritance this morning, Christ in you being the one to qualify for that inheritance. It's the grace of God that is the power behind that. And so the grace of God is able to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. And of course that word sanctified simply means set apart unto God. We've seen again, it is divine grace that does that. The grace of God. We can't do it ourselves. No man can do it. We found in the message today that the law cannot do it. Wishful thinking cannot do it or anything of this nature. But divine grace has the power to sanctify you, to separate you, set you apart. And indeed, as we find here, give this marvelous inheritance unto us. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 8 for another beautiful expression. Sometimes people might not think of this one as grace, but the scripture calls it grace. 2 Corinthians 8, let's go down to verse 7. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, of course, as we see here. In verse 7 he says, therefore, as you abound in everything. The Corinthians really had a tremendous amount of provision. Paul saw to that. We have noted over and over again that the Corinthians didn't avail themselves of the wonderful provisions that God had given to them through the gospel, but they had access to all of this. And now then Paul is saying to them, as you abound in everything, in faith, utterance, knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. What is this grace that he's talking about? Back up to verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit or to witness of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Then he describes what that grace was. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. The grace he's talking about is the gift or the, it had to have been quite a generous sum that the Macedonians had taken up to give to the needy saints at Jerusalem. They were trying to meet their material need. These Philippian saints, they were as poor as they could be, as we find here. They gave out of their poverty, but they gave liberally. Paul calls this a grace, and so that's what we will call it. This is the grace of giving. It is a grace that we need in our own lives. It is not a matter of giving to the church or paying tithe or something of this nature. The grace of giving, the gift that he's talking about here, is when they took up this special offering in order to give it as a gift to those needy saints at Jerusalem who are having such a hard time at this time. And Paul is admonishing the Corinthians, as we read here in verse 4, therefore, you abound in all these things. There are many, many things I can commend you for that I can really compliment you on. But then he says to this, you need to abound in this grace, the grace of giving. And then let us notice one more, Ephesians, the third chapter. Ephesians 3, in verse 7. Paul says, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me to the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. And here it is, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. The grace he is talking about here is the grace of ministry. And so any person that ministers in any manner, whether it be from the pulpit or whether they give out the truth to other people or just in personal witness or anything like that, let us understand that it is a grace. It is a grace of ministry that God has given into our hands. And once again, we must understand and realize that all grace comes from God. He is the source of it. And so he indeed gives this grace in order to accomplish his purpose in shedding forth the beauties of the Word of God. Now, I want to notice that the gift of grace that Paul had was really a very special one. I believe it is a grace that we can share in today, but I have to say that the majority of the church does not. But you will notice what Paul says about this grace that was given unto him, as we read here in verse 8. This is the grace, or and unto me am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentile the unsearchable riches of Christ. These are those riches that are found in the deep mysteries of God, of his word. And those mysteries belong to God, but that which he has revealed belongs unto us. And so when God reveals these deep mysteries unto us, this is the grace we're talking about. He also gives us that grace to give such things, to share, to impart those things unto others. Notice verse 9, to make all men see the fellowship of the mystery. These again are the unsearchable, deep things of God that are so glossed over by the majority of the church. Now, I have to say that one reason that the church as a whole glosses over these mysteries is because it takes the power of the Holy Ghost to understand them. The majority of the church teaches that a person receives Christ and the Holy Ghost all at the same time. They are a separate experience. The infilling of the Holy Ghost is a separate experience, and there are those in our world today who absolutely denounce the experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in new tongues. And so this is what is necessary in order for a person to understand the deep mysteries of the gospel. They must be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And much of the church, as I say, do not want to go through that experience. But it is a wonderful experience, showing forth the supernatural power of God in what He is doing. And so they spoke with tongues there on the day of Pentecost. They also did it over and over as you go through the book of Acts. And so it is the wonderful experience that God has given, that men should be filled with the Holy Ghost. Being filled with the Holy Ghost, the overall purpose is not simply to speak in tongues. That's just evidence that it's happened. It's not just for the marvelous gifts of the Spirit that He brings with Him. The real burden of the Holy Ghost is to understand the deep treasures and mysteries of God. And that's what Paul is talking about here, that he was given this grace in order to make all men, in verse 9, see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God who created all things. It's that same Holy Ghost. I have said it this way. It required the power of the Holy Ghost for those Old Testament prophets and the New Testament writers to write down the Word of God. It takes that same Holy Ghost for us to understand those deep mysteries which they wrote. And so today I emphasize that this is a grace of ministry which God gave to Paul. And if God has given to us any kind of ministry, whether it be in material things, spiritual things, physical things, doesn't make any difference. Let us understand this is a part of all grace which comes from God, and thus this, the grace is the power that enables us. It doesn't just help. It is the power that enables us to accomplish what God intended to do. Shall we see?